Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
This is a terrifying story as we learn more about a woman who was, they're saying, kidnapped. Police in Warminster Township, this is Bucks County, searching for the suspect in connection with an armed robbery. Started at a Wawa early in the morning. Police say that it was 1:37 a.m. at the Wawa located on Davisville Road, if you're familiar with that area. So the victim, she tells police the suspect, was apparently lurking behind a nearby tree there, entered into her back seat when she came back from the Wawa. And the victim, when she returns to her car after leaving the Wawa, the suspect holds her at knife point, orders the victim to drive to multiple ATMs to withdraw cash. The suspect forcing her to drive to a PNC bank, the one in Warminster, then FCCB bank in the shopping center there in Upper Moreland Township, eventually tells the victim to drive to the German Club in Warminster, where he gets out of the vehicle and runs off. So she was not physically injured. You know, some of the reports are saying nobody was hurt. She was terrified. She was shaken, according to the authorities. And certainly they are searching for the suspect and beefing up security.
But, well, he's a smart bandit because PNC doesn't give you a surcharge when you withdraw if you're not a PNC customer.
So I had heard reports that she had left her car running and he got into the back seat.
Ooh. I don't know that they're saying it was unlocked.
Okay.
So I don't know if the car was physically left running, but they are saying the vehicle, because she, parks right there, runs in, and didn't lock the vehicle.
Be honest, guys. When you guys make a quick stop.
I did it yesterday.
Are we going to victim blame?
Oh, yeah. No. Absolutely not. No. This is, by the way, this is the Wawa right there at Davisville and County Line right there in Warminster.
Okay.
A very busy Wawa. But no, seriously, do you guys leave your car running while you...
Yesterday, I had to run an errand, and I actually pulled into the Wawa with the gas pump. I left my truck running at the gas pump while I'm not getting gas at all that day, and ran inside for a Gatorade and came right back out. Hmm. Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'm a scumbag. Yeah.
I'm a paranoid freak. I would never do that. Like, I'm like making sure my car is locked like 5 times. So, and looking in the back seat, you know what? I am a paranoid freak because I've covering news all these years.
Yeah.
And I think, unfortunately, even if you think
that's the thing.
No matter where you are, that
area is not exactly, a bad area. So, I'm sure this woman thought she was safe, doing this.
Not even
at 1:30 in the morning.
Not to make it a Wawa thing, but any convenience store at 1:37 in the morning. Not the best clientele at that time of night.
Yeah, it's true.
You know.
Yeah, but not.
Do they have a description of the suspect?
They're not really releasing. I'm sure they have surveillance video.
Oh yeah,
but they're not releasing it or a detailed description.
Got it. Now is this a Wawa with gas or just the convenience? Do we know? Based on that location,
that's not true. That's not. I misspoke. Actually, I'm looking at 6ABC. He does, but he's wearing a medical mask and a black hat.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
So that's not true. They did just release some images of this guy.
Yeah.
Time for a statewide or a nation ban on wearing medical masks in public.
You asked if this is a gas station in.
Okay. So this is like one of the bigger ones.
I don't think there's a ton of just Wawa convenience stores anymore. I think most of them are gas stations.
There's one right by North Penn High School on Valley Forge Road.
Oh, yeah.
That is still the old school.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the old logo.
Yep.
It's like 7 spots you could park.
Yep.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he's wearing a black hat, black sweatshirt, black pants.
What's the description?
He's a white guy. Looks like a white or light-skinned guy.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I see him.
Wearing all black with a white... It's not a blue medical mask. It's looks like a white mask. So I don't know if it's one of those cloth ones.
Yep.
But people wear those COVID masks.
Mm-hmm.
They'll find him.
So, yeah. I mean, but he's facing kidnapping and armed robbery charges. So it's a terrifying situation.
The German Club?
Yeah, the German Club.
It's where they had him. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
A lovely German club.
Is that where German people hang out?
Looks like he has bad sideburns and glasses
Sounds like me in high school.
He looks like, let's see, Anthony Dorenzo.
He does.
Where was Anthony Dorenzo?
That's his family's stomping grounds, I think, over there.
I had to buy my mom something for Mother's Day.
So they're searching for this guy. They're confident, like you said, they're confident they will get him. So we've got that going on. Let's talk about an estimated 70 people arrested during this huge protest. They were arrested following that big rally in Philadelphia that featured the one and only Senator Bernie Sanders, as he is, it's a May Day rally, workers over billionaires, talking about the oligarchs.
Now, I saw a visual of the overhead, and it was from NBC 10.
Their chopper shot, drone shot.
It didn't seem like there was a massive crowd. It was like a decent crowd. I don't know what, I can't quantify decent, but I did see the NBC 10 overhead chopper shot. I don't know, maybe 1,000 people? Did you see any of the visuals?
No, it was way more than 1,000.
Was it more than that? I couldn't tell.
It looked, I mean, it was a very big, it was a large enough crowd that for anybody trying to get in and out of Philadelphia at that time, because think about it, they started the road closures at 3:15. Rally started at 4 p.m., sponsored by the Philadelphia Council, AFL-CIO. And so it was supposed to be a union rally, International Workers' Day, a holiday that is recognized as a day to honor labor and workers. But he was speaking against the oligarchs.
I've got him. I've got him lined up for the big take. We're going to hear Bernie in the big take.
Well, listen, we have to get to the big take, but first, what a woman took as she was, you know, we talk about road rage incidents and there's nothing laughable about them. I have to tell you this one for only in Delco. This woman was arrested. They caught up with her. She's identified as 44-year-old Christina Solomito of Ridley Park, Delco, accused of defecating on at least one other, I believe there may be two incidents.
Wow.
But in this one, it's alleged road rage that led to this, where it was all captured on video. So I know that TMZ, for example, has actual images of her.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
It's making national news.
Let's go to the tape. Do we have tape?
She's in custody. Fox 29, to their credit, actually caught up with her as she was being arrested.
We have that. We have, I believe this is Fox 29. Roll this.
Can you tell us what happened?
The lady chased me. She chased me and I asked her that's what's happening.
Delco, definitely Delco.
She chased you?
I have a sickness.
Yeah, you do.
You said she chased you?
Yeah, she chased me. And I got out and begged her to stop.
Better to do. Listen to her side.
Wow.
Right, so in the back seat.
Presumably, so if you listen to the whole thing, the woman's saying to the reporter from Fox 29, you have nothing better to do. You're getting her side of the story.
Yeah.
You know, this is like classic Delco. The funniest line I saw was somebody said, Glenn Mills, just defect from Delco.
defect.
So this happened 4th and Madison, Prospect Park, Pennsylvania, and the thing is, she allegedly bragged about the fact that it was a quote unquote clean poop.
she bragged.
But you see the video of her. There are two splotches on the one vehicle.
Yeah.
And she is.
Phil, find me that video from TMZ, please.
Yeah. They have images where
she's whatever it is.
Walking away, and you see big white underwear.
Oh God.
So what exactly qualifies as a clean one?
I don't want to get descriptive.
Is she saying like eco-friendly?
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I mean,
I think she's, okay, let me just say this. If you see the pictures that have gone viral, this was not like a stink pickle.
Oh boy.
This was the mustard. This was mushy.
Okay. And Dawn.
What?
Dawn. It's 6:14 in the morning. Okay,
the guy who delivers firing squads on the radio now getting creeped out.
No,
over.
We have. I don't want to do the. I don't want to do the description of bodily fluids on this radio show. Okay.
Listen. You know who would agree with you?
Yeah.
Prospect Park Police Chief David Madonna.
Yeah.
He says, in all seriousness, it's no laughing matter.
Yeah.
Because
it's
everybody's
gross,
talking about this, but he says road rage, you know, it just can't, this, first of all, this cannot happen in this community. And he says that they see road rage is at its worst.
Yeah.
And this is, I mean, this one takes the cake, but he says this woman is, seriously, she's facing charges.
I mean, she says she has mental illness.
Oh, you think?
Or she has a condition or whatever. I would agree with her.
Yeah.
I mean, no sane human being does this.
Just wait until left-wingers start doing this to Teslas in protest of Elon Musk.
God.
Jimmy Kelly goes, Jimmy Kelly says, we've gone from shots fired in Dawn's News to a different S word fired in Dawn's News. Swap out the O for an I.
Yes. And, you know, here's the thing about about all of this. I will say, judging by those big white pull-up underwear.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
The problem could possibly be, judging by those, they're those like those pull-ups.
She had IBS or something.
Something that she may. So the family has come out and said there's much more to the story.
Right.
The family is actually talking, not on camera.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she looks like she's wearing a poncho.
Yeah. I mean, and she was super like that video where Fox 29 caught up with him. She looks, you know, like not all there.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
So we have that going on.
It's just my opinion.
We also have, after the big discussion with NPR and PBS, another headline is that President Trump signing executive orders ending federal funding for NPR and PBS.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. Good job, Jim Kelly. Or Phil Omquist, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Phil.
Keep going.
Okay.
Sorry.
So you want me to talk about NPR PBS?
Yes.
What was that? Okay.
Oh, wait, hang on. Yeah. Oh, there we go. Wow.
So you see the silver vehicle, which is a silver sedan.
Oh, my God.
You see the two big splotches?
Okay.
That's why I said mustard.
Let's not describe it, but if you want to see it,
this is
YouTube.com.
Not everybody's watching on YouTube. So you see an individual in the image with no pants. The pants are off, but the pull-up big white, those big pull-up kind of disposable underwear looks like, or granny panties or whatever they are. And the shirt, but no pants. So this is the allegation after an incident of road rage. So this individual is under arrest. So we should do, maybe Jimmy Kelly should do an NPR report on the Delco pooper. You know, you could have the right
Delco
to guess.
Delco pooper.
That's what they're calling it. It's a sin. President Trump signing.
Hey, Albert. I'm just trying to protect the FCC license. You dope. Get off my YouTube.
Uh-oh, get off his YouTube.
Yeah, what he said.
Get off my YouTube!
So,
Go listen to another failed radio host. That pretends to be syndicated.
Dawn, you said that Glenn Mills is trying to separate from Delco?
You know, these are all the Delco jokes that are now going viral.
Could Montgomery County purchase them like Trump's trying to purchase Canada?
It's like... Oh my! Well, Radner secede from Delco. You know, everybody from Delco is like, "Oh, why is it always in Delco?" So, with President Trump signing that executive order, it says which viewpoints NPR and PBS promote does not matter. The executive order says what does matter is that neither entity presents a fair, accurate, or unbiased portrayal of current events to tax-paying citizens. That's the executive order. So that has gone viral, and of course, I know the other headline this morning is what happened with the national security director, who's now nominated for a UN position that Nikki Haley once held, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All that going on.
It's a promotion, according to J.D. Vance.
It's all about the spin, Gregory.
Promotion.
And then...
We say those things, too.
I know, right? Saving face.
They're retiring.
Saving face.
We're consolidating roles.
Oh, my goodness.
You will now do three jobs and get a 1% bump. But you can put it in your email signature and say you're this and that.
So we are, maybe you need a spot. By the way, last night, not only was it a traffic hot mess, a beautiful evening, but Phillies Nationals, we lost 4-2. That's the final for our Philadelphia Phillies. So that's going on. Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon, secret to spoiling the moms in your life this spring. Now with three locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, Center City, at the Lowe's Hotel. Visit in person or online, josephanthony.com. Gift cards always available, josephanthony.com. Looks like the rain holds off. 86 degrees. It's a hot Friday, and the rain is moving in for the weekend. Broad Street Run earlier this year, Sunday morning, 7 a.m., so might be some sprinkles for the beginning of the run, and much cooler, 69 degrees, the high for your Sunday. Nice running weather. Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Coming up next, a Friday big take. Know when to hold them and know when to fold them. We'll explain. It's next here on Kale & Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Four days from now.
Come on.
Tuesday.
Come on. What are you doing?
May 6th.
Come on.
7:30.
1210WPHT.com. Let's go.
Yep. Phoenixville. Woo. Colonial Theater. Swing on out to the Great American Pub before. Get your pregame on. Starting at 3 o'clock. It'll be a good time. Right now, let's get down to business. We have a lot to discuss. Time for a Friday big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
Brought to you by Bucks County Estate Traders. You got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. You know, it originated as a phrase in the game of poker. It became an iconic song from Kenny Rogers. And then in the political arena, it is on full display in 2025. The Trump administration, I would argue, knows when to keep a winning hand. Perhaps the Kilmar Abrego Garcia deportation, and when to ditch a losing hand, somewhat, with Mike Waltz out as national security advisor. But on the flip side, Democrats, they continue to hold on to a pair of sevens with no chance of winning the hand and scooping up the pot. Whether it's Kamala Harris back to public speaking engagements, Tim Walz talking about trying to appeal to white football-loving, truck-driving men, or even Bernie Sanders, now in year 35 of his nationwide oligarchy tour, which made a pit stop in Philadelphia yesterday. But we begin with the big news that dropped right after Kale & Company when we signed off yesterday. Mike Waltz, who was Donald Trump's national security advisor and the man who was at the center of the Signal Chat app disaster, has been ousted from the role of NSA. But let's take a trip down memory lane. This was my position on March 25th, 2025, when I said Mike Waltz should be fired. And many of you said, Nick, you're crazy. Listen and watch. If I was Donald Trump, I would fire Mike Waltz from Florida. I'm not saying he will. I'm not saying it's a guarantee. But I believe he should be fired. This isn't like accidentally texting your mother-in-law when you meant to text the wife. This isn't like getting the wrong group text mixed up between your work colleagues and your fantasy football league. If you're a left-wing media member, which Goldberg is for The Atlantic, this is a wet dream come true. And the worst part of this egregious error, Mike Waltz ripped his predecessor for doing almost the same thing 2 years ago in the Biden administration. If you recall, Jake Sullivan was in the role. Apparently, Donald Trump agrees with me 6 weeks later, and it appears that Waltz, who I've said is a dime a dozen and easily replaceable, still hasn't learned a thing about protecting important information. Hey, Mike, pro tip for you. When photographers are in the room, maybe you should close out your Signal Chat app and stop messaging other high-ranking officials about government business. Phil, please throw up the two photos here on YouTube, and you can just keep rotating through them. These were taken on Wednesday during the Trump administration's routine cabinet meeting, the same meeting that is usually broadcasted, which we play clips of on the cut sheet, including yesterday's cut sheet. Remember, everybody's gathered around. Oh, I love you. You're doing a great job. But the story takes a twist from fired to reassigned or even promoted. Mike Waltz will now be made ambassador to the UN. And unlike the NSA job, this position requires Senate confirmation. Reports indicate that Trump really likes Waltz, even though he got tired of him in the previous role. Vice President J.D. Vance sat down with Brett Baer on Fox News last night and had this to say. Listen and watch.
Mike Waltz let go.
So it wasn't let go. He is being made ambassador to the United Nations, which, of course, is a Senate-confirmed position. I think you can make a good argument that it's a promotion. But we brought Mike on to do some serious reforms of the National Security Council. He has done that. I like Mike. I think he's a great guy. He's got the trust of both me and the president. But we also thought that he'd make a better UN ambassador as we get beyond this stage of the reforms that we've made to the National Security Council. You saw the president announce that Marco Rubio is going to step in as interim leader of the National Security Council. So I think the media wants to frame this as a firing. Donald Trump has fired a lot of people. He doesn't give them Senate-confirmed appointments afterwards. What he thinks is that Mike Waltz is going to better serve the administration, most importantly, the American people in that role, and I happen to agree with him.
But what's...
Now, J.D. Vance makes a good point at the end about firings under Trump. They usually don't lead to new roles. That said, I don't buy it. I don't want Mike Waltz and the words security or national security advisor in the same sentence in the next 3.5 years. Here's more of the VP with Brett on the move that Mike Waltz is now making. Listen and watch this.
So yes, we've got total faith in Pete, but even the question, Brett, I think betrays a certain misunderstanding of what the goal here is. Mike Waltz is being moved from one administration job into a separate administration job where he has Senate confirmation. That's not, I think, what it's being framed as. That's the president deciding a guy who's a very good guy in Mike Waltz could do a better job at a different role.
And he's going to fight for him in the Senate.
Of course.
Yeah,
we fight for all of our nominees. Yeah, I think we actually got all of our nominees through.
He did.
All right, so the argument is he could do a better job at a different role. Okay, I'll play along, but let me ask you this. Well, why wasn't he placed in that position from Jump Street? You knew at least Stefanik couldn't take the position because of the slim House majority that Republicans hold. But the ultimate question, and I think this is the fascinating one, and I totally agree with J.D. Vance on this, is this coming down to the old guard versus the MAGA faction, the pro-war faction versus the anti-war faction, the establishment GOP against the new wave of Republicans? J.D. Vance answered that with Brett Baer. Listen and watch.
That is a change.
Yeah. And if I can give some background into that question, Brett, I've already seen some folks saying that this is a war between the hawks and the anti-hawks, the
MAGA,
neoconservatives inside, versus yeah. MAGA or the realists. That's not what this is about at all. Mike is a person, one, I think he's a good guy. He has my complete trust, and I know the president really likes Mike Waltz. He just thought that the UN ambassador position would be a better place for Mike Waltz to be. But the entire idea that this is about a national security team, and I know why the media wants to report this story, because it's an exciting story. It's also a fake story.
Let's talk about your tour here.
I agree with J.D. Vance there. I actually think Republicans are more united than before. Not 100%. That'll never happen. But the backing of Trump, I think, is stronger than 2016 and certainly 2020. Now let's go to the other side. Speaking of not folding and holding on to a losing hand, we flip sides of the field and get to the Democrat Party. Yesterday in Philadelphia, Bernie Sanders and his socialist stooges came to Center City to continue the old oligarchy tour. It's a narrative that the man who claims to hate capitalism but has benefited tremendously from it has been perpetuating for decades. The oligarchies are coming. It's like, you know, the climate change and global warming. And yet here we still are all these years later, Bernie. Here's the 83-year-old cartoon character at least facing the podium in the correct direction, pitching his socialist fantasy in Philadelphia. Listen and watch.
So let us be clear and lay it out on the table. In the year 2025 in America, we are now living in an oligarchic form of society. Never before in our history have so few had so much wealth while so many Americans are struggling. So few had so much political power, while millions of Americans no longer vote, millions of others have given up on democracy because they look at government and they say, government is owned by billionaires, you are not representing us.
I pray to God every night that Bernie Sanders gets his wet dream and AOC becomes the Democrat nominee in 2028 because she will get trounced. Socialist candidates have no chance to win the presidency in this country. But please hold on to this losing hand in the game of politics and poker, or ditch it and pivot to this. Here's new liberal loudmouth Jasmine Crockett showing how clueless she really is. Listen and watch.
As far as I'm concerned, you randomly kidnapping folk and you throwing them out of the country against their civil rights, against their constitutional rights. And frankly, how would they feel if some other country decided that they were going to just start throwing people randomly in our country? Like, that is absolutely insane. So, yes, all I got to say is y'all need to get these fools out of here.
Jasmine, did you really say how would you feel if other countries threw their people into our country? They did. It was called letting out all of the criminals from third world countries and storming the southern border of the United States for 3.5 years. Oh, my goodness gracious. And speaking of oh, my goodness gracious, let's get to my pal Harry Enten from CNN. With all the polls that are out showing Donald Trump is not doing great, he's underwater, this, that, and the other thing, the truth is he would still do better than Kamala Harris, as well as any other Democrat in office. But don't take it from me. Take it from the data man himself, CNN's Harry Enten. Listen and watch this final clip.
Who'd be doing a better job as president? Guess who comes out on top? Within the margin of error, but comes on top. This looks a lot like the election result, right? Trump 45%, 2 points ahead of Harris at 43%. 12% say they'd be doing about the same. But this is the key nugget here. It's not just about regretting that vote. It's literally saying who would be doing the better job right now. And Trump continues to score a higher percentage of the vote than Kamala Harris. This looks a heck of a lot like the election result. We have just seen this in poll after poll after poll. Despite the fact that Trump's favorable ratings aren't too hot to trot, when he's matched up against who he was matched up in 2024, he still, across the polls, scores a higher percentage than Kamala Harris does.
Even if they don't know exactly what she would have done, they still went for Donald Trump. Okay, what about when he's matched up against congressional Democrats who we know have had some pretty rough numbers?
But the bottom line is, when you look at Donald Trump in a vacuum, it's one thing. But when you actually match him up against folks in the real world, all of a sudden his numbers look considerably better. And when you match him up against his main competition at this point, Democrats in Congress, he is more trusted on the main problems facing the United States right now. In fact, it's not even close. It's an 8-point advantage, which in this politics, well, that's a wide ocean.
It's a wide ocean indeed, and it's pretty clear right now. Trump might make mistakes, but he will course correct, make a firing, switch things around, find the right person. The Democrats, almost 6 months to the day since the election in November, are still playing bad hands, putting chips into the pot, drawing dead, and then blaming the dealer for the lack of cards. Because politics is a lot like poker. You have to trust your gut, maximize your good hands, and discard the hands and the cards that cannot get you to victory. And that is the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by Bucks County Estate Traders, where you can furnish your home and make a statement for spring with one trip to Bucks County Estate Traders. Browse over 16,000 pieces, all high-quality, famous brands, meticulously cared for and curated by their experts. Visit BucksCountyEstateTraders.com or their showroom in Hatfield. If you want to jump in, 855-839-1210. Let it rip on social media and, of course, your comments on the YouTube chat, youtube.com/at1210WPHD. All right, Don Stenzel, and your thoughts? Mike Waltz, the firing, the promotion, Bernie Sanders, the oligarchy tour, your thoughts?
Oh, wait. Sorry. That's my fault.
He muted me.
I did.
He's like Tony Reale on Around the Horn with the mute button.
So, first, he technically is not fired. As J.D. Vance said, he is the being ambassador to the United Nations is a huge gig. I mean, let's be honest, Elise Stefanik, as you mentioned, she would love that. And unfortunately, she can't take it because they need her where she is because of those close margins, like you said. But I will say that so he probably, you know, will he get confirmed? That's the question. When this story broke, if you remember our discussion, the thing I said was that Waltz is not who they're aiming for. And as I look at top Democrats yesterday and this morning, I fear that this scooching Mike Waltz, maybe because he took accountability. Okay, this guy's a military hero, military veteran, combat war veteran, decorated and so on. Remember that in interviews, he took accountability. However, it was his deputy who I believe and reportedly actually did that coordination and accidentally added the Atlantic, the Atlantic's editor-in-chief, Jeffrey Goldberg. And so Alex Wong is the one who I believe is actually out of a job.
He is, as well as a few other staffers that Waltz brought in with this new wave, the new regime. I guess there's like a holdover. There's some carryover folk from administration to administration. But the people under Waltz, you're correct, led by Alex Wong, and I think there's also a few others.
But Alex was a Trump guy. He was in the first administration as a, you know, a deputy. But Alex Wong, to my knowledge, I mean, that he's the one, because think about it, your national security advisor is a biggity-big. He's not the one who's physically putting together anything, right? You have your subordinates do that, your staff. So Waltz probably made the mistake of, you know, taking accountability, because he did it with Laura Ingraham and I think some others where he said, I take accountability. This was under his watch. But did Waltz actually put together that? That doesn't ring true. It makes no sense. I fear that Waltz is just the chub in the water, because if you look at, you know, Schumer, all the Democrats, what they're saying is, oh, great. You know, Waltz is being thrown under the bus, essentially, but they're all still going after Pete Hegseth.
Yeah.
And that was what I said. They're after Pete Hegseth. They will not be happy until they have his head on a platter.
I agree with that for sure. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, late developments last night on the Kilmer Abrego Garcia story. We've got a lot of footage, a lot of audio to get to that just goes to show you how awful of a person this guy really is. And it makes you wonder why the Democrats are dying on this hill. Get on over to YouTube. You're going to want to see some of this footage when we come back. It's Kale and Company on a Friday on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
We actually have some Tennessee Highway Patrol body cam footage that we're going to show you in just a moment. But Maryland man, a.k.a. MS-13 scumbag that is rightfully out of this country and should never be allowed back in because we're a safer country for it, apparently also has abused his wife, and also there are allegations of child abuse. Phil, I actually want to go to this. This is K-11, and this is obtained by the USA Today, where it depicts Jennifer Vasquez Sura, the wife of Kilmer Abrego Garcia, pleading with a judge for temporary protection from Kilmer in 2020 because, quote, he slapped me three times. K-11, roll it.
Came to fill out a protective order. I think it was in December. But I didn't show up to the court because his family, like, washed my brain telling me that his dad was sick and not to do it. So I didn't do anything. But after that, it was like, I would call the police. I have a lot of police reports. And I kept trying to get to the door basement to try to open the door. And then, like, he pushed me. So then when I was able to go outside to get a phone, I called 911 from a disconnected phone. Now, they took a long time to get to the house. It was probably like 20, 30 minutes. So I saw a neighbor walking his dog, and I opened the door, and I was like, help. And then when he heard me, like, he grabbed me from my hair, and then he slapped me. And then the neighbor, like, he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to react. I have pictures of the evidence, like, all the bruises, because it's not, even on Wednesday, he hit me, like, around, like, 3 in the morning. He would just wake up and, like, hit me. And then last Saturday for my daughter's birthday party, before I went to my daughter's birthday party, he slapped me 3 times. And then last week I did call the police. My sister called the police because he hit me in front of my sister.
Hey, Chris Van Hollen, you got a daughter? You got a sister? You got a female in your life that you love? You want Kilmer Abrego Garcia around a female in your life? Do you? Come on, Chris Van Hollen. You want to go to El Salvador and defend the due process of Kilmer? Okay. Let's go to K-10. This was on the Jesse Waters show last night. So the Tennessee Star, which is the alternative paper, I would call it the New York Post to the New York Times in Nashville, Tennessee, released highway patrol footage. And this is actually Jesse Waters on Fox News narrating a little bit of it. He'll describe some of the footage. Then you're going to see some of the raw footage. And we'll kind of cut in and out of this as we go along here. Clip K-10, if you would, Phil, let it roll.
Tennessee Highway Patrol stopped Kilmer for speeding and noticed he had 8 other people in the car. All no luggage. Take a look.
Hello. Hello, Sheriff.
How are you?
Good, and you?
All right.
Everything good?
You got a bunch of people here, don't you?
It's one for yes. Go back to work.
Gotcha. Where are you working at?
Where?
Where?
San Luis, Missouri.
Missouri?
Yes, sir.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I'm from to Maryland.
Where do y'all live at?
Where I live?
Mm-hmm.
I live in Maryland.
Maryland?
Yeah, also.
6636.
Whose vehicle is it?
What, excuse me?
Whose car is it?
It's to my boss.
Your boss. My boss. Yeah.
Where's he live? Where's your boss live?
My boss right now is staying in Maryland, but he lives in Texas.
Okay.
In Houston, Texas.
Hmm. After talking to Kilmer, the officers had no doubt he was trafficking.
You know what you got here, right?
No.
He's hauling these people for money. You got an ass hauler, is what he's doing. But sometimes they commingle dope.
All right, we can stop it right there. We'll stop it right there. Thank you, Phil. So he's been pulled over. He's got 8 people in a vehicle, no license, $1,400 in cash. He's in Tennessee. He says he's on his way to St. Louis, Missouri. He says it's his boss's vehicle. His boss is in Maryland. He lives in Maryland. I don't know, Don. I don't think you need to be some sort of rocket scientist to put two and two together and figure out what's going on here with Kilmer Abrego Garcia. Yet this is who the Democrat Party is riding with and dying with in defiance to a loser for them, a losing issue on illegal immigration, deportations. It doesn't matter the category. Anything under the umbrella of the border, Trump is in the majority at a minimum of 56% on deportations, all the way up to 80%+ on the way he has sealed off the border. Yet select rogue Democrats in office are trying to fight this battle for what looks to be like one of the most detestable human beings you could possibly conjure up on this planet.
Yeah, whatever happened to believing her?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Me Too?
Where are all the female rights activists? The same ones that were quiet for men and women's sports.
Well, guys, for May Day yesterday, she was out there.
Oh.
She was out there asking for his release. So
who was?
His wife.
Oh, she was again?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Boy.
So, like,
am I wrong? Am I an insensitive guy for saying that I don't feel bad for her for what happens to her?
No.
Okay.
No, you're not.
Okay. Because, like, how many times can you be abused by a guy and still want to be with him and defend him? Where I sit there and I say, well, you know what? If that's the life you want to live, knock your socks off, right? Like, I don't get it.
Now, but the question I have as far as that traffic stop, and to their credit, the Washington Post, it's not a top story, but they do have it. They say the 2022 stop is highlighted by the Trump administration as evidence that Garcia is a dangerous criminal. But they do point out that he was never arrested. He was never charged with any crime during that encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, well, why didn't they? What was going on? And was it a climate where, in other words, it was such a sanctuary? Was it a sanctuary climate?
Yep.
Did they feel that they could not actually go forth with those charges because it would not be supported by prosecutors, DOJ, etc.? I mean, I don't have those answers.
Right.
But they bring up the point that technically he was never charged, he was never convicted, and why?
Mm-hmm.
Why wasn't he?
Yep. Very interesting. If you guys have any thoughts, you want to jump in on the conversation, you guys know how to do it. 855-839-1210. Kale and Company, hour two on the way. Dawn will have some news to kick off the 7 o'clock hour. And then we'll get to a couple of lighter stories, including Neil Young's new lyrics, where he calls Elon Musk a fascist, as well as Vanity Fair. Why are Americans so obsessed with protein? Blame it on the MAGAs. Kale and Company, hour two is next.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.